Let us pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather around this, your word today, we pray that you would open our hearts to enlarge our understanding and, yes, our dedication to the one who so loved us that he gave all in order that we might live. So in this love, may we rejoice this day and always through Christ our Lord. Amen. You actually may be seated this time. As I look around you into the chapel today, I wonder how many of you chose to wear red today for a special occasion. Oh, no, not too many. Checking. There's a few good red ties here. There we go. The reality is, we know as we look around us, we see things like on Facebook or on the news, and we actually see those little selfies with the hearts on them. Yeah, I had to do that this morning too. That remind us that today is Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day. But you're not going to find it on the church calendar. The reality was that the church at one time celebrated St. Valentine's Day as a saint day, but it was discontinued in 1969. I find it kind of ironic in an era when the mantra was make love, not war. St. Valentine's Day, gone. But the reality is it's very special, isn't it? It's a day that we look around in our society and our country, and it's really pretty popular. In fact, you often wonder if economically it might even be challenging Black Friday as a special day. But let's just pretend for a moment that you're one of those traditional type of guys or gals. But we're going to focus on a guy who decides he's going to get that special bouquet for that one and only true love. So he goes to the store. He buys not one bouquet, but two bouquets. He carefully puts them in his car. He drives to his girlfriend's house. He takes out one of the bouquets. He walks to the door, and he gets everything he expected from bringing such a beautiful, elaborate gift. The hugs, the kisses. Oh, they look so beautiful. But then she looks over his shoulder, and in the front seat of the car, strapped in, is another bouquet just like it. She looks over her shoulder and says, well, if this one's for me, who's that one for? He's a quick of wit. He says, well, I bought that for Mom. But she says, yeah, right. How can she trust him? How can she be sure that this is a bouquet for his one and only? Or is he holding something back? Or does he have another love out there that he's hanging on to? And you think how silly that would be, but the reality is, when you look at our relationship with God, there are so many times in so many ways that we hold something back. We have something that would take us away from God, something that we hold near and secretly in our hearts, or something that we are refusing to let go of in following Christ and in our relationship with Christ. That, dear friends, is divided loyalties. We know that doesn't work. Our Lord warned us. He said, you cannot have two masters. You cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will despise the one and be loyal to the other. How clearly, then, this doesn't work. And that's why Paul today, in our text that we will share, really wants us to focus on our loyalties, on being true to the one that's true to us. So we read from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. That introduction to that text really opens up our minds to a possibility. Paul's making a comparison, isn't he, to how an Olympian might train diligently to win a prize. They would set aside all those things that would distract from their being physically able, whether it's sexual relations or if it's putting aside other bad foods or other sleep habits that are terrible for the health that ultimately detract from being athletically fit. He says, all run in such a way that you may obtain it, but everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Temperate, that means they're disciplined. They're preparing. They're living because they're looking and seeking that prize. And so he goes on to say, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So he wants us to awaken to the idea that we can't take what God has given us, his grace, his mercy, his love that he has shown to us, and take it for granted. We have to recognize that the minute we have this gift called faith, the devil is busy and active trying to take it away from us, trying to undermine that faith, trying to get us to put our love, our faithfulness, our devotion somewhere else. And so we must be temperate in everything. We must recognize the importance of being faithful to God and exercising our faith and keeping our bodies from sin and preserving ourselves unto the Lord. For we have this one goal in mind, that imperishable crown that he has prepared for us. You know, Paul was a pretty confident guy. He was perhaps one of the best preachers this world has ever known. He was close to his Lord. He was full of the Spirit and spoke and wrote God's holy word itself. And yet he had this to say in his continually being temperate. He said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I love the way Hester Prosch yesterday did the message talking about being an expert. He was riding his lawnmower. He was an expert the second time and crashed it well into the tree the next time because he was an expert now. He had driven before. And so often we become complacent in our Christian faith. We look at it as something, well, I'm a Christian now. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have any concern with my life. I can just go on and do whatever. But our Lord has taught us otherwise. He wants us to remain true to him. We recognize the weakness there. Even though he loved us, the agape love, by giving his son, we do not always return that love. But we are asked, love the Lord your God. That is agape that is used there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's pretty amazing. A pretty high requirement, one that we all fail and fall short of. And yet that's why we want to return here to God's word. Because here it is clear that his love doesn't stop because of our unfaithfulness. His love for us doesn't end when we fail to do what we should have done, like we would with our earthly relationships and forgot that bouquet. But he gives us all that we need. So even if Paul, a leader like Paul, can say we have to discipline our bodies, he had to do it for himself, we're reminded to be faithful then to God's word. Here in his word, he works through that word to create and strengthen faith in our hearts. Here through his word, as he connects it to the bread and wine and the Lord's Supper, we receive the blessed body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. Here, as we confess our sins, we are told by John that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if we messed up this year and didn't get that special someone, that special present, we've got next year. We can try it again. But our Lord doesn't wait till next year. His grace is new to us today. It's new to us every day. And as we live in that forgiveness, we rejoice in the salvation our Lord has obtained, that we, by his grace, have that imperishable crown that awaits us. It's the crown of life. And he gives it to you through faith in Christ Jesus. To him alone be glory. Amen.